10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Lift off.
Welcome to the Alien Probe Podcast. I'm Doug, this is Matt, and we have Preston Dennett. Preston Dennett began investigating UFOs and the paranormal in 1986 when he discovered that his family, friends, and co-workers were having dramatic unexplained encounters. Since then, he has interviewed hundreds of witnesses and investigated a wide variety of paranormal phenomena. He's a field investigator for the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, a ghost hunter, a paranormal researcher, and the author of more than 30 books. Welcome, Preston.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. 30 books. Holy crap. Is that your whole job, or do you have a regular job too? Do you do something else?
Well, I did recently quit, or basically got laid off, really.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry to hear that. Am I sorry? Are you sorry?
No, we're not sorry about it at all, actually. I mean, it's difficult, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That was part of the reason I ended up leaving L.A. It's so expensive there.
Yeah, amongst other things, yeah.
I did work, full time for most of my life. So
what kind of work did you do, may I ask?
Oh, of course. I did bookkeeping mostly, full charge bookkeeper with doing personnel and data entry and accounting and all kinds of fun stuff like that. My heart just wasn't in it, honestly.
Yeah.
But I got by because I love doing UFO research on nights and weekends. Worked very hard at it from a pretty young age. I was 21 years old when I got involved in this subject as a skeptic, I will say.
Right. Really? I it's funny how work gets in the way of the fun things we want to do.
Right.
You were a skeptic, so you didn't believe? And what happened? Sure. What turned you around?
Yeah, no, not only was I skeptical, I was pretty rude about it. I was
rude. Wow.
Oh, yeah. If you think you saw a UFO, you're deluded.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
And, yeah.
Of course, I was so wrong. I really kind of regret how I acted towards some people. Because there was people, in my own family who had encounters. And were not telling me about it because, I was so skeptical. Which all changed on November 17, 1986. When I heard a report on the news about a sighting over Alaska. You may have heard of this case. Captain Kenju Tarochi.
Yes.
Saw a UFO, his whole crew, a commercial Japanese airliner. It's a really well-known case in the field. Caught on radar. I mean, it's a great case.
Yeah.
Of course, none of that was really in the news report, which was not really serious at all. They kind of just joked about this guy. But it interested me enough because my older brother, Mark, some years earlier, I'm running into the house saying, "I saw a UFO." I'm like, "No, you didn't, Mark. Go away. They're not real." He was disappointed. I could tell that no one wanted to hear what he saw. But having heard this news report, I decided I'd ask him again. Couldn't hurt. It turned out to hurt quite a bit for me.
Yeah.
Because he really impressed me. Describing this metallic disc, little lights on it, a dome on top. It was really low and close to him. This was at treetop level, right above the telephone wires.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And he chased it in his, the microbus van?
Yeah.
He and his two friends, Phil and Greg, all chased this thing for 15 minutes down Reseda Boulevard. This is in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
they were
passing other cars.
Really? This was not like out in the middle of nowhere.
No. I mean, they were real close to this thing. And Mark, he's like, you know, if you don't believe me, because I'm looking at him like, you've got to be kidding me. He's
Right.
like, you can talk to Phil and Greg. You know them. They've been over here. I did know them. They were his friends.
Right.
So I ended up calling them up. I ended up recording an interview with them,
You
actually.
started interviewing immediately.
Pretty much.
Right.
And yeah, they absolutely confirmed his story. It snowballed from there when I found out my sister-in-law had seen UFOs over Van Nuys Air Force Reserve Base. She had other witnesses too. Another guy, her friend, Adlai Fredriksson.
Oh,
He's like, you should talk to Adlai. He'll tell you. I'm like, okay. And
wow.
he did, of course, confirm her story. And she later said, well, you know, I saw Greys once. Well, she didn't call him that because she didn't know what she saw.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything about Greys back then, not on TV really at all. But she saw gray ETs right in front of Stagg Street Elementary School in Van Nuys late one evening while walking home. So this started to really hit home for me. I found out I had several friends, well, a few friends, who had really close encounters. One had missing time.
Yeah.
I brought it up at work, you know, because I work with a lot of
Oh,
people.
probably not a good
No,
idea,
it was, well, in some ways a mistake, in some ways I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bit unfiltered. I'm
Right.
not
Yeah, me
embarrassed
too.
about this. I don't care what people think. I want to
Exactly.
know the
No.
truth.
Yep.
And the lady I worked next to, her desk was right next to mine. I knew her. You know, I trust her. I love her. She's a nice lady.
Right.
Told me about how she and her whole family saw this star-like object. You know, it was quite high up there, but it was darting all over this where they were in
Yeah.
Camp Julian in the San Bernardino Mountains.
Right.
And
Oh,
she's like,
that's
you should talk
amazing.
to my daughter. She saw gray ETs come to her bedroom. I'm like, oh my God, you're kidding. What? So yeah, it was, you know, I was not a happy camper for a whole year.
The subject found you. You didn't find it.
Yeah.
It submerged
Yeah.
you.
No, I was running away from it, but it surrounded me and
Yep.
attacked me, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm glad about, don't get me wrong. It
Yeah.
definitely made me take a left turn into the Twilight Zone, but
Yeah.
it's so interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
It's such an important subject.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves to know the truth about this.
Amen.
I've never seen anything, so people will ask me, like in MUFON, why do you even believe in this? And I go, because it's so, there's no way it can't be true. There's too many people have seen things.
Yeah.
And, you know, so,
Skeptics don't have a leg to stand on anymore.
yeah,
I mean,
right.
if you're a skeptic, chances are you haven't looked at the evidence. It's that simple.
Yeah. So you think the military, I mean, you've run and did a lot of publications and talked a lot about this and experienced people's experiences. Do they think the military have these things, or this is what we're always curious about? What is the deal? Can you shed some light on that?
Oh yeah. First of all, I would say it's absolutely provable, demonstrable that there is a UFO cover-up
Right.
and that our military does know about it and has for, well, practically 100 years by this
Yep.
point,
Yeah.
at least 80.
Yeah.
They're very, very well aware of what's going on. They have absolute proof of it. And I think that UFO crashes do happen, like Roswell. Of course, not just the Roswell crash in 1947, but many others. And I think there's enough whistleblower accounts out there. I have some myself to say that yes, our government does have possession of these craft. Some of the bodies has done reverse engineering, but some of the stuff people are seeing, especially today, a lot of it is not ET. It's our
Us.
own craft.
Right.
So yeah, I think the military absolutely has the proof, the evidence, and knows about it.
Well, they must be able to get to these things pretty quick when they crash, because you just never, it never gets out. And then also, mainstream media covers nothing about this, because obviously, you know, as a, I don't want to consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but the media just doesn't cover, they just don't cover this at all. Even though we had those hearings, there was nothing, you know, just a blip
Yep,
maybe,
they're part
you
of the
know.
cover-up, actually.
Yep.
Legacy media.
There is a media blackout.
Yep.
You know, there's a guy who wrote a book called The Missing Times.
Yep.
I forget his first name, his last name is Hansen. He proved it flat out. All UFO stories are quashed,
Yeah.
crushed.
Yeah.
And every now and then one does kind of leak through because so many people saw it.
Right.
You couldn't cover up the Phoenix Lights.
Phoenix Lights, yeah.
You couldn't cover up the Gulf Breeze wave or,
Yeah.
the Hudson Valley wave or
Right.
Witville, Virginia. There's a bunch of waves which did get through
Lights over
past the
what?
media.
Lights over Washington. So.
That
That was
was
a
a big
huge
one.
one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah, it's even News Nation, who was big with Grush when it first came out, and Coulthard and all that, and now you hear there's nothing out of them about this. It's
I
like,
wouldn't
oh,
trust our governments anyway.
right. Yeah.
Bunch of liars. We don't
Right.
need them to say this is real or not. We know.
Exactly. So when did you become a field investigator with MUFON? How long did it take to get into that?
Well, November 1986 was when I found out about it. I spent a year, just trying to keep my head above water and trying to figure out what's going on. So 1987 was a tough year for me, in which I gathered every book I could find, joined every UFO organization, including MUFON, but others as well. Started attending conferences. I was interviewing people firsthand because I really needed to know
Yeah.
what was going on just for my own sanity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I found out MUFON offered field investigator, Well, they didn't have courses back then.
Right.
They just gave you a test. But oh, okay, well this is right up my alley. Let's do this. I said, okay, well, today you have to take courses and go through a whole training. Back then, no, they just handed you the test and said, here you go. I thought,
Right.
well, this will be easy. Because they said, it's a take-home test. We'll mail it to you. I'm like, okay. And I got it in the mail. It was 200 questions, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I took
Like,
the
this is a
test.
lot.
I took the test. I failed.
Well, yeah, back then there was no internet. There was a
The
manual.
best I can to look everything up too. You needed to get 80%. I got up to 78 on the two tries,
So
the three
close.
tries or whatever. So
Really?
I'm
Well, I
about to
studied
try
so hard.
again.
I pretty much breezed through the UFO section because by then I had pretty much every book that you could find.
Right.
And then it got to the section on astronomy. I'm like, well, actually, I'm taking astronomy in college.
Right.
So I was able, well, I just finished college pretty much. And meteorology, I was pretty strong at
Gosh.
that. Photography was definitely difficult. I had to go look up a lot of stuff with that. There
Yeah.
was a lot of science stuff, which actually really impressed me because I was all about science.
Right.
So I did really well, actually. I missed two questions.
Did
Wow.
you?
So,
Dang. Oh, you're an overachiever, Preston.
yeah. Well, I was, really, I love tests, actually. I do. I'm crazy. I'm a
Right.
nerd.
That's a world. Yeah, I think we all are
I'll
pretty,
admit
to a certain extent.
it. In this
You
field.
know, we don't mind. Yeah, well,
Oh
label it.
man, when I missed those two questions, 'cause I'm a little bit of a perfectionist too. I've sort of grown out of
This
that.
bothered you. Ah, what?
Retake the whole test and start over.
But yeah, it was fun because they would hand me firsthand cases and I'd investigate them, put them back to MUFON. And I did that for a good 5 years until, I started to grow a little disillusioned with cases just disappearing into the database and not being followed up.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? Because I was investigating all, I was writing a lot of articles, actually, for
Oh,
magazines,
yeah.
trying to get the word out. And I had interviewed this lady who had had a healing as a result of a UFO
Oh,
encounter.
nice. Oh,
She
wow.
was healed of a cyst. I'm like, wow, this is crazy because
Right.
I knew of the two police officers in Texas. One guy had been bitten by a baby pet alligator,
Oh,
and he
wow.
was healed by a beam of light. There was a doctor in France, a case from Jacques Vallée, who was healed by a beam of light.
Yeah.
And several other cases I knew of. I thought, this will make a good article because I've got my own case. And so I started looking at other cases and I found like 30 of them. I'm like, I can't fit this in an article. What am I going to do? And my sister-in-law, she's like, you write a book. I'm like, you're
Yeah.
kidding. I can't write a book. She's like, of course
Right.
you can.
Yeah.
So I did. That was my first book, 1996, after 10 years of research, really. and pretty much started writing books after that pretty regularly, on and off, but on the average of one per year.
I was always curious about that. Do you have to cite all your, I mean, you cite other sources and things like that so you don't get in trouble, that kind of thing. I mean, or was everything just your own?
Well, you always try to do as much of your own research as possible because, that's original, and armchair research certainly has its place in this field.
Right. Yeah.
But I love boots on the ground research. You're doing your own cases. My second book, which actually the first one I wrote, called One in 40, which was all the people I'd interviewed up to that time. And my third was UFOs over Topanga Canyon. All my own cases, pretty much, except for a few ones which I found in the literature. But it was a regional book about a wave of sightings over this little town outside of LA, where I grew up, actually. So, yeah.
MUFON doesn't care if you write about the investigations. It's not, I don't know.
Well,
So,
by that point, I was working independent of MUFON.
right. Okay.
And I did. I called up gosh, who is the guy? John Schussler.
Right.
I'm the head of MUFON. He's like, oh, no, as long as you give credit where credit's due,
Right.
you can vote the case. And then he, of course, retired from leadership, and it was another guy, Clifton or something like that. And I confirmed that with him. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to be really careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
And make sure that your reporting is very accurate. There's so much disinformation in this field.
Yeah,
There's so much
absolutely.
sensationalizing.
Yeah.
Why sensationalize? These facts alone
Right.
Yeah.
are so interesting. You
Yeah.
don't need to. You know what? Also, it's annoying is when people push, they get a theory like, oh, they're time travelers from our future.
Right.
And then they ignore all the evidence except what fits their theory.
Yeah.
That's not science.
Yeah.
That's not how you do research.
Yeah.
You take all the data and then you form a theory.
Yeah.
So I was really trying hard to be very objective, throw away my own beliefs, which had already, finding out UFOs were real had collapsed my belief system.
Yeah.
It really did. So I was building, at some point I'm like, you know what? Belief systems are not that useful. They distort your perception. Everyone's, because I noticed this when I would interview someone who's perhaps very religious. They said, well, I think it's a demon. I'm like, well, just tell me what you saw. And they would
Yeah.
describe a gray.
Right. Yeah.
So a belief system isn't particularly helpful. There's a huge difference between belief and not, excuse me, and knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really tried very hard to be objective because there's really high strangeness elements to some of these UFO cases.
Yeah.
I'm like, gosh, how am I gonna t how can I write about this? This sounds insane. A UFO's, this metallic craft suddenly turning transparent as it moved off. You could see right through it, and then it disappeared. I'm like, well, I'm just gonna, this is what he saw. This is, there was actually four witnesses. So I'm like, well, later I found out that there's quite a few cases of this sort of thing. But I know for a fact that some researchers are editing and out, high strangeness details, which I think is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Were you a member of the STAR team too? Did you do that?
No, they didn't have that back, or
Back
I
in
don't think they did. Yeah.
the day. Yeah, it's a, now do you believe, I mean, I know we're talking about, you believe in hard evidence, but what do you think about the extraterrestrial theory or the reality? Is it just one of many things that is happening?
I think so. I think that, there's little doubt in my mind that, if you look at the totality of the evidence, all of it, from crash retrieval reports to the landing traces to the implant removals to the disappearing pregnancies, all of it. When a person is taken on board and they're not in their room, people are looking for them.
Right.
I think the totality of the evidence speaks very strongly towards the ET explanation.
Right.
And I think this is what most experiencers absolutely believe. I think absolutely we are dealing with ETs in the classic sense.
So extraterrestrials, though, not extratempestrials. You don't think they're from the future? You think they're from
I don't think
another?
so. I'm not going to say, because time travel is an aspect of this. We do see it. And there's definitely some weird paranormal and interdimensional stuff going on.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, different types of entities that people are putting under the UFO umbrella that clearly doesn't belong there. You know, in terms of like elves and gnomes and fairies and Bigfoot. I don't think Bigfoot is ET, even though there are some cases where they kind of intersect.
Yeah, like right craft, there. Yeah, craft sighted around a sighting of Bigfoot, right?
Right, but no, I think that it is extraterrestrial in origin. I think our governments know this
right.
and are trying so hard to cover it up. If we could just see that Roswell craft or any of them,
yeah,
because they have the bodies,
yep.
all this talk would be done.
Yep.
You know, I know there's this other theory, which kind of surprises me, that's quite popular among researchers, that this is a phenomena which wears different masks. It's masquerading as ET, and it's not ET. I'm like, okay, well, what is it?
Yeah.
Because it's a very vague theory.
Yep.
And it has no mechanism to explain how something can manifest metal, you know, hard steel metal, or burn the ground.
Right.
At several thousand degrees,
yeah.
or make a person disappear from the room, or put an implant in their body,
right.
or you know, take a fetus, or any of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jacques Vallée is a strong proponent of that theory. I'm not sure he actually originated it, because there's, you know, John Keel as well, and other early researchers who said, you know, this might be something different and more complicated than just ET. Not quite willing to go there. I still think, like most contactees think, and I still think most researchers, that this, at least a good portion, a good portion of this is ET in origin, right. as we would think of it, people from other planets.
Right. So you said your family had sightings that kind of got you involved into this. Do you think that there's a, because I've heard before, where a lot of visitation or abductions kind of center around families, certain families. You think that plays a aspect?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at who is being contacted and why.
Right. Yeah.
I was very curious. And after I had built up my own database of several hundred cases, I was able to do a statistical analysis just on my stuff, which I can trust because, you know, while I do trust some of the researchers out there, some I don't.
Right.
So I started looking at it and was evenly divided between men and women. I thought, well, that's interesting.
Right.
And it certainly wasn't based on, you know, ancestry or political affiliation or religion or education or age or, you know, it was just across the board. Anyone can have an encounter. But it became very clear to me that when someone's reporting being taken on board or having repeated encounters, it's very likely, it's the rule, that it is in your family.
Yeah.
And that your parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles or certainly children are also having encounters.
In your
So,
go ahead.
It does seem to follow family lines.
Yeah.
I mean, I just recently investigated a case where four generations.
Wow.
It was so interesting because they all had experiences starting at age 7.
Wow. Have you, is there any tie-in between people being a musician and, have you heard that theory? Only because I have no musical ability and I haven't seen anything, so I'm wondering.
I have, and yes.
Matt's a musician.
And I've had four different sightings since 79.
There is something to that, I guess. That's crazy.
Well, there's a couple of other really strong patterns. One is, you know, psychic ability. Or paranormal experiences. I've noticed a lot of contactees may have had a near-death experience.
I did.
Or report astral projection or mediumship.
Yeah.
Sometimes this can come as a result of an encounter. Sometimes it's more of a two-way street. You know, they'll have all these abilities and then they'll have an encounter. Or vice versa. But there's an absolute connection there. And right from the beginning, I had to investigate ghost reports. And all of this stuff, levitation even, precognition, because there's a connection there. This is so interesting that you said musicians, because my first book, as I said, was about healing cases. This lady from Norway contacted me because she was healed of chronic back pain. I'm like, well, this is interesting. What happened? She says, well, grays came through the wall. They flipped me around like a rag doll. It was super scary. Put
Oh, wow.
this thing against my back, and I could feel the energy coming through it. She's screaming at them, who are you? What are you doing? They didn't answer. She was really scared, though, so that can distort your
Yeah,
perception a little bit.
right.
But at any rate, she said it was just minutes. And they went right out. She looked out the window. It was eerie blue light. This is in the middle of the night. Jumped up into the window and it winked out. She's like, well, that's what just happened. Because it wasn't a dream. She was awake. They woke her up.
Oh my God.
And she went to bed and she realized, oh my gosh, my back. They
Sign me
healed
up.
my back.
I'm ready for that. Sign me up for that.
Right? So I'm
Wow, that's
asking her about
amazing.
this and getting all the details. I'm like, okay, well, have you had experiences when you're a kid? No. Like, you're really, are you sure?
Right.
Because rarely is this a one-off, a singular event.
Yeah.
Like, no, I haven't. I'm like, hey, have your parents? She's like, no, I don't think so. I've asked them. Have you had any other UFO sightings? Well, one, but I was with a crowd of people and it was this little dot way up in the sky and it was darting around. And I'm like, okay, huh. Because it wasn't fitting the pattern, right?
Right.
So I'm going through all the questions, asking her all the hard questions. What's your blood type? Finally, I'm like, what do you do for a living? And she's like, well, I'm an artist. I'm like,
Oh.
okay, really? And she's like, yeah, but I'm retired. Actually, what I do now is human and animal rights. I'm pretty well known in my country. Don't use my name. Don't worry,
Right.
I won't.
Right.
And but it struck a chord because I just interviewed another guy, Michael Carter, who was healed of a blood clot. And he works against racism and he's a healer.
Right.
I thought, well, gosh, all these people that I've interviewed, they're environmentalists, they're doctors, they're nurses,
Right.
they're musicians, they're artists, they're teachers. There are people who are doing good work for humanity in some capacity. So yeah, ETs love musicians. They love teachers. They love environmentalists, social workers, because these are the influencers. These are people who are trying to raise, humanity's awareness and standard of living, and quality of life, and protecting the planet.
I'm doomed. I don't fit any of those
We're
things.
gonna teach you how to play
Yeah, I
guitar.
have to play
I'll
the
get you. I'll get you on board. I'll
guitar.
teach you how to play guitar.
Well, if
Let's
you're
go.
interested in this subject, that's a huge red flag. It
Yeah,
is. If you've got a strong aversion to it or a strong attraction, it's one of the questions I always ask.
right.
If you have dreams about UFOs,
Yeah.
repeated sightings. I mean, there's a whole list of questions, of
Yeah.
course, I'm sure you can determine whether a person's a contactee.
Right. I think I am. I don't remember. I do remember having. So about 8 years old, I remember a lot of the weird things going on at the house, and my mother was super religious. So she veered away from UFOs immediately, almost aggressively. And she was there when I had my first sighting in 79. Three saucers right over the Richmond Refinery here in California. And she just immediately, like, there was nothing there. It was a sun or something. She just got aggressive about it.
Wow.
But I do remember a lot of weird things happening when I was younger, that she again kind of just wrote off. She's super religious, so it's the same thing. It's demons. It's evil. We're not going to talk about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you just have to be kind of open-minded to wherever, I mean, when you're talking about where they come from and anything. I mean, it could be what do you think about interdimensional? What do you think about that, Preston?
Certainly looked into it because clearly these craft are traveling interdimensionally if they're going from, star system to star system. And they're pulling people out of time, kind of, because I've got many cases where people look around and nothing's moving and they're being pulled up into a ship and
Yeah.
they spend an hour or two or longer on board a craft and come back, only moments have passed.
Right.
And all kinds of, weird stuff like that. So there is an interdimensional aspect
Yeah.
to it. But you know what? We ourselves are interdimensional beings.
Right.
We are. I mean, we can go astral projecting. I've had those experiences. I got real into it actually. And I've interviewed a lot of people who've had all kinds of interdimensional experiences. So I think, in effect, I mean, truly, we are all interdimensional beings. Every entity is. Because there is another side, you know, we do have a soul. So I'm not sure how useful it is to call them interdimensional beings, because it doesn't preclude them being extraterrestrial. You can be a time traveler and interdimensional and still be extraterrestrial.
I interviewed a gentleman a couple of weeks ago who, the after he studies the afterlife, has a website and that kind of thing, and he says that once we're here, once we die, we go to another plane of existence. It's kind of like another dimension. That's his theory, that we aren't really in, our spirit goes to that next level, and then you live there. You know, you're in your prime body and you could do whatever you want. It was a really interesting aspect, and it
Yeah, I think that's one of the.
makes a lot of
I think
people
that's.
lo go ahead, Preston, sorry.
Sorry. I
You're
think
right.
that's one of the ET goals, honestly. Because when
Transcend.
someone's taken on board, it usually they'll be examined. This is when often they're healed. Subject of my first book was 100 cases. I've since reissued that book with 300 cases. It's a primary part of why people are taken on board. But also, yeah, they're trying so hard to wake people up to. Telepathy, mediumship, clairvoyance, precognition, healing, all of these things are not supernatural abilities. They're natural. And I think the ETs are trying real hard to just wake us up to the fact that we are eternal beings, immortal in essence. Yeah, we shed our body, but we come back. Past lives do come up in first-hand contact cases. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Do you think they've taken us in their ship and brought us to whichever star system they came from, and or brought us there to experience life on their planet at all, where they came from?
Oh, yeah, I do have cases of this. My favorite contactee that I've ever interviewed, certainly the most extensive cases, retired nurse and military officer, employee by the name of Dolly Safran.
Oh. Yeah.
I wrote a book on her case, one of the really only full-length books on just one person.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, she woke up to contact at age 14. And had fully conscious experiences, no fear, no hypnosis. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I've interviewed a few people who've had that, but not a lot. And they took her to their planet several times. And this does turn up in other cases, but boy, she described it in detail.
Which
Really
planet?
amazing.
Could she tell you where she went? Which planet it was, or what system?
Yeah, it's in the Orion system.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What do you think about the Zeta Reticuli system and the planets? Have you heard of the planet Serpo? That story?
Yeah, I'm skeptical, honestly. Excuse me a second. I have to.
Wasn't that Betty and Barney Hill too had the wasn't
They
that
were taken on the ship, yeah.
yeah same
yeah Zeta
place.
Reticuli comes up. It's interesting because if you look at that star system, it's not likely to have planets there.
Oh, really?
So I don't know quite what to think of. I mean, perhaps that they made a stopover there or something. It's hard to say because, you know, some say, oh, we're Andromedans. Well, no, you're not. Andromeda is another galaxy, and I don't know. Sometimes they're not super forthcoming about where they come from, which I can understand if, you know, you're dealing with a hostile species who's so warlike and corrupt, frankly, and is starting to have access to this technology, it's dangerous. But yeah, some people have been told Orion comes up in a number of cases, so I find that very interesting.
I think they look at us like a species of warring ants, like we would look at a species of warring ants in the Amazon, you know, and just with,
Aren't we really, though?
you know, that's basically what we are. And, you know, we're being experimented with, you know,
Well,
but they
I'm not
want
sure
us.
I'm willing to go that far. I don't think they're experimenting so much with us as trying to do what they can to stop us from destroying ourselves
Right.
and, educate us. Because they look, this is my assessment. I think they look upon us kind of as, children in a way.
Yeah.
They've tell contactees over and over again, we are you, you are us.
Yeah.
We're not that different. We share a common heritage.
Yep.
That's amazing. So if you what do you think of Bob Lazar? Do you think is
Oh my goodness.
I think he's legit.
Yeah.
I do. I did
Sure
from the
is.
beginning because he went public at great personal risk, and did suffer for it. And whenever a witness is viciously attacked by debunkers, to me that raises red flags. It's like,
Right.
if he's just a harmless hoaxer, why are you attacking him?
Right.
And also, I interviewed this guy, Don Anderson from Utah. He says when he saw Bob Lazar's drawings, he's like, wow, that's exactly the craft I was on.
Yeah.
Dolly Safran, too. I just mentioned her. She's like, he's legit. He's describing everything in detail. He's saying stuff you could not know unless you were actually working with a genuine craft. So,
The
that
element.
and other reasons, I
That
think
element.
he's been vindicated over and over again
Yeah.
by other whistleblowers.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be nice if he spoke in front of,
He's
the
probably
House
tired.
like, Grush did and Fravor and all
He's
that.
probably tired of dealing with all of it. I think at
Yeah, he
some
probably doesn't want to
point,
deal with the government.
you can only get
Yeah.
beat, beaten on for so long.
Yeah, it's fascinating though what the government's doing with this, though. Are they? Well, the CIA has been involved with this since the beginning, it seems like, even because they were right around the Roswell time. That's when they, became live. Maybe they were with the OSS before or something like that. What do you think about the government above the We the People government pulling the strings on some of these things, Preston?
There's no doubt that there is a secret government. I think the folks behind the cover-up are the highest level of the military. Excuse me. Who are not elected officials. They're in for life if they want.
Yep.
And clearly the intelligence agencies as well. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA. Of the military-industrial complex, the banking industry, the oil industry, the insurance industry, pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these people are partly behind the cover-up as well. It's not just government.
Money. Yeah.
It's the one percenters.
Yep.
It's the cabal.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate
It
because
is.
it's all this wealth, the unequal distribution of wealth on our planet is, I mean, people have no idea. I think we're figuring it out, but 99% of the wealth is owned by 1% of the population.
Right.
That makes zero sense.
Yep.
Yeah, and you get the and the corruption is horrible. I mean, you have this guy like Mike Turner, who's Ohio. He's got Wright Patterson in his district, and he's just adamant against the UFO phenomenon, and doing anything to bring it forward. He was key in striking down the key aspects of the what they tried to
He's
accomplish.
invested, of course he's gonna
Yeah, well,
say
we pay our
that.
taxes, and
Right.
then it goes to a secret. There's no oversight in the defense projects.
Right.
Even the people who are supposed to be overseeing this can't see it. So it's incredible. What kind of dog you got there, I have to ask. What kind of dog
Great Dane. Yeah. He
He
is
looks pretty
actually a
big.
horse.
That's a big dog.
It's
What's his name?
That's Duchess. We
Nice. It's a girl.
named her
Girl.
Duke until, she was a rescue. Found out she's actually a girl, so we named her Duchess.
Right. That's
A
awesome.
great dog, and that's a noble effort. Yeah, we've rescued. We have a German Shepherd. His name's Max, and we rescued him. Well, he was rescued by the Greater California German Shepherd Rescue, and
He
then we
rescued you guys.
he rescued us. Yeah, he runs the house anyway. We don't really run it. Love dogs. Awesome. Tell us about your books. We definitely want
to. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you got 30 books? Holy crap. You don't have time for a real job.
Yeah, right?
Well, I love writing the books, you know, because it initially was for my own benefit just to understand what's going on.
Right.
And I wrote a bunch about various states, California, New York, Colorado, Arizona, just to give a little historical perspective and help get this subject taken seriously. I wrote about healings, of course, because I think that's a huge part of this subject that doesn't get enough coverage and really shows the motives behind it. I love focusing on firsthand contact cases with people, you know, seeing humanoids face to face or being taken on board.
Right.
So Symmetry is probably one of my favorite books. Going to work on a sequel for that one. But nice. Onboard UFO Encounters, that covers like 15 cases of people taken on board.
Right.
Love that book. It's probably my most popular. But UFOs Over Topanga did really well. And let's see what else. Inside UFOs. Wondrous, extraterrestrial visitations. I've got a bunch of them out there. Also on, you know, Bigfoot as well. And
nice.
Oh, ghosts, good.
Out of body experiences.
Yeah.
Human levitation. I wrote a book on that because, again, this is all connected.
Right.
And if we really want to understand what's going on, you need to start looking at all of it.
Yeah. Paranormal. You believe paranormal is part of this? You know, is it really a ghost or is it something that's connected to the ET experience?
It is connected, I think. I think it is a ghost. Let's face it, ghost accounts go back to recorded history.
History, yeah.
Thousands of years. It's clear that people are seeing ghosts, and the evidence is overwhelming that ghosts are real. And that's true for Bigfoot as well. So I think when someone sees a Bigfoot, it's a Bigfoot.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever you want to call it, depending on which country you're from.
Right.
Or a ghost.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
I feel they're interdimensional, too, because they just, like, vapor. I watched, I don't know what it's called, Operation Bigfoot or Bigfoot, Expedition Bigfoot.
Expedition
Bigfoot. There's a newer series where they bring in a lot of technology. And I'm kind of skeptical of those kinds of shows like Oak Island and Skinwalker. What do you think about Skinwalker Ranch? What do you think's going on there?
You know,
that's what I say too.
It's a bit overblown.
Right.
A bit.
It's entertainment. I think it's entertainment. Yeah.
Reality TV, I think, has its place, but right. I'm not sure it's.
It's for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on TV a bunch of times and.
Yeah.
Often disappointed with how it's portrayed, and sometimes flat out they will twist your testimony to make you say things you didn't actually say.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how they put your words.
Which apparently, it's not hard to do.
I've heard that before with people that are interviewed. It's like, that's not even what I was trying to get across. And that's kind of scary, you know, being interviewed on TV.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity. Don't get me wrong. And several shows have treated me very well. I certainly don't want to complain because it's a great way to reach a lot of people.
Right.
But I remember one time the evening news called me because I was talking about, you know, this wave of sightings over Topanga Canyon and how a UFO had landed.
Right.
And they're like, can you take us to the spot? And I said, sure, let's go. We met and there was the spot and I showed it to them. And there were these gopher holes in the air, you know, little gopher holes in the field. And the guy says, is that a landing trace? I said, no, that's a gopher hole. And he said, oh, okay. Well, would you mind saying it's a landing trace? And I was astonished to hear him even mention that.
Man.
I said, no, I'm not doing that. And by this point, I had done some TV already. So I knew to be wary.
Yeah.
And he said, well, would you mind just putting your hand in there?
No.
Just point at
what you're up to.
Yeah, they're gonna just put it on there. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, he's pointing to a landing.
Yeah,
trace.
Preston touches the landing. Yeah. No.
Anyone with any knowledge would be like, why is he pointing to a gopher hole?
Right. Oh wow. It's
terrible.
Oh wow. Have you talked to Richard Dolan? Have you ever talked to him?
Very briefly, I met him at a convention, UFO Con in Laughlin, MegaCon. He was a very nice guy. Also, I did Ancient Aliens not too long ago.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah, they flew me up to Rochester, New York, treated me very well. I mean, they
Nice.
paid for my gas money and
Nice.
the whole deal. Gave me a big list of topics to cover, which was interesting. It wasn't my own research, so a little bit disappointing in that regard, but
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was there as well, and we kind of crossed paths. He was being interviewed right after me, so I got to meet him and took a picture with him, and we shook hands. And but that's about it. I'm trying to connect more with him.
Yeah.
Because,
Yeah, we're trying to get him on. We're talking with him about it. But I like him. I don't know if he's a I love his some of his stories. I don't know if people think he's a disinformation guy. A lot of there's that's out there. So I'm
yeah, I
never
couldn't
really
comment on that.
I never really know,
I will say his book about the national security state is well done.
Yeah, it's a good book.
It kind of echoes Timothy Good's book,
Good, yeah.
Above Top
Good,
Secret,
yeah. I read that too.
which,
I read that first.
he's the real pioneering guy on that. But yeah, it was certainly his two books about the cover up are well done. And he's put out some good books, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got some great stories. Oh my God. Yeah, it's kind of funny that he can just come out and talk about that, where other it's I find it confusing that he just puts it out there and then other people are like, I'm scared of getting killed. And how can he do that? And there's no DOPSer or any of that that I'm aware of that he's done,
Yeah, it's only if you're in the military.
so but
At this point, there's so much information out there.
there
There's so many
is.
whistleblowers that I think if the government starts attacking them, it brings credibility to their story.
Exactly. Yep.
What do you think about David Grush?
Okay,
Yep, here
we'll
it
go
is.
there.
Here it is.
We're
Here it is.
gonna go there. He, I can only, I don't have any firsthand information on him. So it's hard for me to comment on him other than to say it appears that his resume is sterling, that he is who he says he is,
Right.
and what he's putting forth, wouldn't surprise me if he did experience these things, whether it's, third hand or what have you, because
Right.
he himself didn't
No.
necessarily have direct experience.
Right.
It feels somewhat sanctioned to me, a
Yeah.
little bit rehearsed, a little bit controlled.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, he was told, like, this is what you're doing. You go
Right.
sit in that seat. And then he gets attacked, and then they back. It's funny, it's like two steps sideways, one step back.
Yeah.
Everything is just, it's a mess. It's not disclosure.
Right.
It's not. It
No,
was
right.
all talk.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to hear members of Congress go up there, and they talked more than the witnesses did.
Yeah.
That
Yep.
was disappointing.
Yep.
But they did say there is a cover-up. I'm like, there you go. Good. Thank you. And they said, some of us have had sightings, but I'm not going to name names. I said, wait a second.
Really?
Where's the truth and transparency?
Right.
Say the names.
Yeah.
If you had a sighting, what's the problem?
Right.
Tell us.
Yeah.
That made me angry, actually. But they
Which,
said, the Pentagon's not cooperating with us. I'm like, well, that doesn't surprise me because they're
no.
the people behind the cover up. So there
Yeah.
were some really interesting things that came out. The rhetoric was really strong.
Yeah, Timber Chet, I love Timber Chet. He's trying, it seems like he's trying his best to get this out, but he's disappointed. They go in the skiff and they said, yeah, something's going on, and but there's nothing to see here. And he goes, then why don't they come out and say there's nothing to see here? Do we need to get in the skiff to say that? But they
Yeah.
won't say that either.
It's ridiculous. And Grush, Fravor, and Graves are just the tiny, tiny tip of
Yeah,
the iceberg
right.
of a
Absolutely.
huge number of people out there who are very, respected in their fields with sterling resumes.
I got one. How about Arrow?
Oh.
Project Blue Book Jr. Was it Project
Blue Book? All Domain Anomaly Reconnaissance.
Yeah. That's the worst acronym ever.
Ever.
I think I got that right.
Actually, it's already an acronym. If you look it up, it gets somewhere else, too. So it was already an acronym for something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I looked at their goals. I'm like, okay, well, let's research this. Right. And the first three, you know, I can understand, which is basically, you know, map UFO activity,
right,
determine its capabilities, patterns of, you know, encounters and stuff like this.
Right.
But the last three raised my eyebrows for sure, because one was basically, let me see if I can get this right, obtaining ET technology, or no, governing.
Governing.
UFO activity. I'm like, good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
You know, all power to you. You don't have a chance.
No.
And then mitigating UFO activity.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And obtaining ET technology.
Yeah.
So they're looking at it from a very dark military perspective of fear, and this is a threat. It's not a threat. The only ET threat is to the government's secret government's power structure.
Yeah.
That's it. To their wealth, to their hold over the basically the enslavement of humanity.
Yep.
Is what it comes down to.
Because
let's face it, we're quote free, but are we really?
Right. Power and money. It's always about power.
People
and money.
Are living check to check.
We're right.
Scrabbling just to keep ourselves healthy. You know, they're poisoning our food supply, taking over the food supply.
Yeah.
I mean, dark, bad things are happening.
Yeah.
And now there's all this talk of a fake alien invasion.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I'm very concerned about that.
Yeah.
PSYOP.
What do they call it? The false flag?
False flag.
Right. Yeah. ETs have been warning that we're up for some real rough times for a very long time.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, you know, Dolly Safran, she says basically the ETs are not here now. Our magnetic fields are collapsing to the point where they cannot fly around here. So everything people are seeing is pretty much government. And we're looking at a fake ET invasion,
right?
You know, on the horizon sooner rather than later. So if someone sees a UFO and it starts shooting at you, not ET.
Right.
They don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Look to the contactee cases if you want to know the truth about what ET contact is like. Don't look to our governments. Don't look to the so-called experts who are on TV who have never had an encounter.
Right.
Who probably haven't even done the research.
That's a good point. It really is.
Yeah, I think they're using that technology for a lot of dark things.
Right.
Like, I've even heard human trafficking.
Yeah.
Just some really bad CIA style, you know, things that go on. They're using the technology for, you know, it's not for the good.
Yeah. There's the threat. There's the evil.
Right.
Those are the demonic force on this planet.
Yep.
People who do not have our best interests in mind.
Exactly.
And frankly, are downright nefarious.
Yeah.
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 They have no morals whatsoever.
Yeah. That is so true.
And it's not even in the UFO field alone.
Right.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
We know this. Our own government has basically poisoned their own citizens. You know, fed them hallucinogenics, radiated them, sterilized segments of the population, were disenfranchised.
It's scary.
All kinds of horrible stuff.
Yeah, that MK Ultra thing was pretty bad.
And
they say that
proven, admitted.
Yeah, and also with the the hallucinogenics, I don't know.
This is exactly where a lot of the negative encounters were coming from. MyLabs.
Right, MyLabs.
Which is, you know, government coming down and using hypnosis, drugs, psychotronic, mind control technology.
Abduction.
And, you know, hurting people and making them think it's ETs. Because, like, the word abduction is not accurate. Yeah. Most people I've interviewed will not use that word.
Right.
Dolly Safran, she gets so angry when she hears people say that.
Right.
This is why she came out forward. She's like, this is not true. People are not being abducted against their will. Because she's on board and people are being taken on board. And yes, they have a strong fear reaction. And often they don't remember because they're so terrified. And this is usually in the beginning. Often they will get through it. 80, 90% of the people I interview, yeah, it starts out very scary for them. But eventually, after their third or fourth experience, or once they step back and start taking a good objective look at what's happening to them, they realize, oh, I have been healed. They are teaching me this. They did help me in this way. I've got bunches of cases where people were rescued from car accidents or drowning or assault or, I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
So you think they're not here now?
It doesn't look like it. Yeah. You know, this, I have to believe Dolly because she proved her case to me.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the UFOs. They came down, had my own experience. She's got the medical evidence. She's got credible photographic evidence. So if she says this, I have to take it seriously. There's not a lot of people out there who have that kind of recall.
What's the name of the book that you wrote?
It's called Symmetry, A True UFO Adventure.
Okay.
Yeah, I highly recommend that one because, well, I have interviewed a lot of people, and I got a pretty clear portrayal, I think, of what it's like to be taken on board.
Right.
It was very piecemeal, you know, and a lot of it was through the lens of fear. Most of the people I've interviewed have not used hypnosis. I think it works. Don't get me wrong. I support the use of regressive hypnosis if done correctly, and I'll underline that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I stayed away from it because I want to be able to say, no, you cannot say hypnosis is causing all these memories, because most of my cases don't involve it at all.
Right. I've considered it, but I'm kind of afraid because you hear about bad, you know, or people just being led, you know, by whoever's doing it. So I've considered it, but I still have
the regression therapy. Yeah. Yeah, I've got a one. I've got a coworker that's doing that on the 18th. Oh, well. I'm gonna be a witness.
I know people who've done it and been very happy with it. Right. Others who are kind of ambivalent.
Right.
A few who are like, no, I wish I hadn't.
Right. Right. That's the ones.
Sometimes
I've heard.
it can open up a can of worms, and you realize, well, it can be overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And often it might take you to the most traumatic part where you covered. You know, you
covered
for a reason. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You covered it for a reason. And now
then
you're opening
it's very
it.
Difficult to work through that.
Yeah.
I always, I had a missing time encounter once.
Yeah.
So I get it. I've considered it. I always recommend to people first write everything down in detail.
Right.
And go back to that and fill in each little detail. And as you do this 10 or 20 times, you start to build a more complete recall.
Right.
And do meditation. Try dream recall. That works. It worked for Betty Hill. She remembered her encounter through the dream state, went under hypnosis, and they matched perfectly. And her dream recall was actually a little more thorough, actually.
Right.
So, yeah, it works. I only recommend it if you've had a very clear-cut case of missing time.
Right.
If you're suffering from anxiety for some reason, you know, you're having nightmares, can't sleep, need to have the lights on. If you really, really, really want to know, which I totally get.
Yeah.
But make sure you find someone who's good at this.
Good at this, yeah.
Yeah. The guy that...
He's got some experience.
My coworker, he's a UFO. He's a believer. I mean, they have several sessions that lead up to the actual regression therapy, which is... This guy, anyway, is 3 hours long. So there's... And he says he's laying there and he can't move his... He literally just can't move his hands. And while they were having this... therapy, you know, before the big one. So I'm going to be interested in, are you sure you want me there?
Oh, you're going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he invited me. It's okay if he has someone there. So, he's a big UFO. He's a fan, you know, but he hasn't had any real, experiences, but his grandfather did down in Guatemala. So it's, he went into some caves and he experienced some, time loss, lost time experience down in the cave. So I think he's thinking something went on down there. So that's what this all is kind of revolving around. We'll see what happens.
Very interesting.
Yeah. He said he can record it. I go, I don't know. We better decide. He can record it. I'm not going to because anything could come out of this that he probably doesn't want out there. You
Yeah,
know?
you never know.
Yeah, they really delve into deeply into this.
So
Well, we
where
know hypnosis does work.
Yeah.
The accounts coming out of hypnosis match pretty much detail for detail
Yeah.
conscious recall from other people. So it does work, though. If you look at the history of hypnosis, it's a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's syndrome is a thing. They've
Right.
proved.
Your mind, I don't know if you want to be messing around with there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being alone with my own thoughts. Yeah, so Preston, we're running up against an hour. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming on. It's very you like speak five languages. Is that what I heard?
No. I speak French and a
Oh.
little bit of Spanish and Pig Latin. That's it.
Oh, Pig
Really?
Latin's a bit.
Pig
Yeah, that's the
Latin.
only one I speak too. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Alien Probe Podcast. We welcome comments, questions, or requests to Alien Probe Podcast at gmail.com. Visit us on Facebook. Check out our website, alienprobe.net, Twitter and Instagram at Alien Probe Pod, YouTube and Rumble. Like and subscribe. Alien Probe Podcast. Preston, that was awesome.
Yes,
We
thank you.
appreciate it. That was very enlightening, and hope to talk to you soon sometime.
Yeah, with a pleasure and honor. So thanks for the opportunity. I
Thank you.
appreciate it.
Have a good day.